certainly desire your prayers. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 28. I know we've been studying and dealing with some of the things of the church. And as far as the functions are, it begins with worship. And everything, it comes back to worship. Everything we do is to bring glory and honor to God. And I can't say that enough, because I think sometimes people think, well, worship's just what we do in a church service when we sing or we pray. And that's only one form of worship, and we try to teach and deal with that. Of course, the greatest worship is how we live and serve the Lord with our life. But everything that we do is because we want to honor and please the Lord. And we've gone through and we've dealt with fellowship. We've dealt with discipleship. And, you know, we've dealt with how we're to teach the Word of God and encourage in the Word of God and things of this nature. And we dealt with the ministries that we can, there's different ministries that we can have. And I know in dealing with that, I know if you're not careful, people will take it and run with it a different way. But that just means in how we serve God. We're all going to serve God in a different capacity. Not everybody's going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody's going to be, a God-called minister or go out maybe on the mission field. But we all have a work that God has called us to do. And we all have things within what God has called us to do, that we're able to yield our lives and see His will accomplished within us, whether that's at our work, whether it's with our families, whether it's reaching out to the lost in our communities, nursing homes, orphanages, things of this nature. But to let God's love be shown in what we do, and we dealt with that side of it. And now we want to deal with evangelism. Now, as we deal with evangelism, again, I want to come to this point and make it known. Usually throughout church history, as far back as you can find, at least in Baptist record, I know that's hard because we're under a lot of persecution, but in the past 200 years especially, usually a church has fell into one or two categories. We like to be doctrinally correct, but don't do a lot of evangelizing. Our churches like to be evangelical, but don't like to be focused on being doctrinally correct. Both of those are wrong. Both of those go against Scripture. We are supposed to be evangelizing or reaching out with the gospel, while at the same time teaching the doctrines of the gospel and living for the Lord. And all that needs to be done in its proper place. And we're probably going to take a few messages, at least over the next few services, and trying to deal with evangelism and look at some different aspects about it. But I want to begin in Matthew chapter 28. Before we read here, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit. Help us as always, Father, that we would not add to your words or take anything away from it, but that we would preach your word in power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit, that we could be doers of your word and not hearers only, and that lost souls could be saved and be added to your kingdom. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Matthew chapter 28, this being the great commission of the church, and I know we've already dealt with at least parts of this, but in verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now as we read this, I know our focus today is going to be the go part. That we have been told as the church to go. We have not been told to wait on the world to come to us. We have been told to go to the world. We have been told to carry the gospel out into the world. And we're to teach all nations. And I still believe that there is great mission work that needs to be done throughout the world. I still believe that God is burdening people to leave their homes, to leave their home areas, and to go other places and share the gospel. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's work to be done at home, work to be done abroad. And my goodness, there's still a great need even in America for missionaries to go out and share the gospel even in this country. There's a great need for churches even to be started here. But we're to go and to teach all nations. Now that word teach there is talking about letting them know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that Jesus came, how He died. Well, first, He fulfilled the law for us. He lived that sinless life. He died on the cross of Calvary. He rose again the third day for our justification and is going to be with the Father. We're to teach the world that. And I'll say this, sometimes we're not careful. We try to teach them other things before we teach them that. If a person does not have the Spirit of Christ, how are they going to accept the rest of the things of God if they haven't accepted Christ? We always need to be careful about who we get in discussions with on different things. Because if they're not saved, we're wasting our time having all kinds of discussions on all different kinds of subjects if they first don't know Jesus Christ. Our first goal is to get them to Christ. And I know that after we get them to Christ, we're to have them baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe the commandments that have been done. But the first thing we do is go. And when we go, we're not here to try to make people Baptist. And I believe in Baptist church. Y'all know that. Y'all know my beliefs on the doctrines. We've tried to teach on those things and go through them. But my goal is to get them to be a child of God first. Then we can take care of the doctrinal things. But to reach lost souls, can you imagine? Think about this time when this was told. First of all, at this time of the church, who's members of this church at this time? Nothing but Jews, right? Jews didn't even have dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't have dealings with the Romans and the Gentiles and the Greeks and all these others out there. They didn't have fond feelings for all these other people in the world, and yet God is saying, you're going to go out and you're going to share the gospel with people. And I think about how He had to get Peter's attention before He got him to go to Cornelius. Lord, I'm not going to eat anything common or unclean. God had to correct him and say, don't you call anything I've made common or unclean. And of course, He wasn't just trying to get him to change on his diet, was He? He wasn't just saying, okay, it's all right for you to eat some bacon and ham now. That's not what He was trying to get him. He was trying to say, don't you call, I've made all these people, all these men and women out here are the children of Adam and Eve. And what I want you to do is I want you to call all men back to me. All men. Don't you call that common or unclean. Of course, what was his statement when he first got to Cornelius' house? Don't you know it's not even lawful? And he was talking about the Jewish customs, the Jewish laws. It's not lawful that a Jew would enter your house. But what did he do right after he said those words? He went in. What he was showing there was a change going on. There was a change going on that God had commanded, that God had directed. And that change was, this salvation is not just for the Jews, it's for all. Turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And I'm not going to deal with everything that we're dealing with here because there's some other subjects we'll have to come back and deal with a little bit later. I might even a little bit this afternoon, but I want to get to verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth. Is there anything left out of there? Sometimes people say, well, where should we carry the gospel? Wherever there's people. Let me tell you this, and I'm talking science fiction a little bit here, but you know, they've been talking about it for a long time. We want to put people on the moon, and they don't want just to land there. They want to have some permanent dwellings there. And of course, there's people that have imaginations of sometimes people being on Mars and things of that nature. I don't know how all of that would work out. But I'll say this, if that was ever able to happen, do you know the gospel needs to be carried? You say, wait a minute, he said to the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever people are. When God said that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who was the world? Was He talking about the planet? Or was He talking about the people that dwell on the planet? Wherever there's people, God's people need to be sharing the gospel. Wherever there's a soul that was made in the image of God, there needs to be somebody sharing the gospel with people. And that doesn't matter if it's Africa, if it's Asia, if it's some island off by itself somewhere in the Pacific or the Atlantic. Wherever there is people, the gospel needs to be preached. And we need to have that zeal to be willing to go. And I'll say this, there's some times that people say, yeah, we need to preach the gospel in the far-off country, in the far-off community. Okay, what about this road down here? There's some rough people down there, preacher. I don't know if we need to carry the gospel there. Don't they need the gospel? I wish sometimes that people would even spend time studying Baptist history right here in America. Right here in America. Do you know there was a time that you were thrown in jail for preaching Baptist doctrine in Virginia? Right here in America. I can tell you of times when Baptist preachers were tarred and feathered over in Texas. And they still went. And even in recent times, we've had missionaries around the time I was born and before that time, not that long ago, that people went to the bayous and people went to the backwoods areas and people had guns put in their face. They had hot boiling water thrown on them for carrying the gospel to people because God had them to go. And how blessed are the feet of those that carry the gospel of peace. How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall he go except he be sent? We got a calling. Let me word it this way. We have a commandment from God that we're to go into the world and carry the gospel. You know, I was at a church one time years ago, and I mentioned about sharing the gospel, and others had mentioned about sharing the gospel, and somebody made the statement. They said, well, they see the sign right there. They know when we got service. Where has a sign ever been taught in Scripture? I got no problem with putting a sign out, and I know people can drop by. But I don't find in Scripture where it said put a sign out, and whosoever comes to the meeting can be saved. That's not taught, is it? Let me even ask this question. Where did Jesus go while He was here? Where did Paul go while he was here? They went to the markets, didn't they? They went to the poor and to the lame, and they went out in people. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, where was He at? He was outside. He taught people and shared the Word of God with people, and people were willing to listen. I think about this. You find even that Philippian jailer that, listen, they were in prison when they shared the gospel with him. They shared the gospel with that man, do thyself no harm, and not only can you be saved, but your house can be saved. When he heard that news, where did he take Paul and Silas? Took them back home, didn't he? He washed their stripes where they had been beaten. And they got to share the gospel with his family members, and his whole family was baptized. Sometimes we forget where the gospel needs to be shared. I've made the statement several times in my life, listen, probably as much as all the preachers, and I can name the preachers that preach the gospel. Listen, I got preached to as much in my granny's house as I got preached to anywhere. My granny's the one that told me about her time when she trusted Christ. My granny's the one that would sit there and pray and say, when these boys come up, she only had boys as grandchildren, had 10 grandchildren, every one of them a boy. When these boys get to the age that you deal with them, Lord, would you save them? Would you help them to see the truth? She wasn't saying, well, they come to church with me, that's enough. We heard the need to trust Christ while we were around the supper table. We heard the need to trust Christ while we were at the breakfast table. We heard the need to trust Christ when we were sitting on couches or sitting on the floor. That, listen, God saved my soul and He can save yours too. You say, wait a minute, she wasn't going out into all the world. Where does it begin? Notice here in verse 8. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Where does it begin? I'll say this, a man that doesn't care for the people that's right around him, how's he going to care for somebody far off? If a man doesn't care about his own people, and what I'm saying there, listen, Mississippi, Alabama, those that are close by, if I can't be concerned about my family, if I can't be concerned about my neighbors, how in the world am I going to be concerned about somebody that's far away? It begins there, doesn't it? And we got to have the mindset that we're concerned here. Every church has this commission. I think a lot of times people forget that. You know, even years ago, when I went on the mission field years ago, I had a man tell me, he said, oh, there's churches other places. We don't have to go anywhere. I said, how do we know what they're preaching and what they believe? We're going to trust somebody else to do the work of God, but not have the attitude to do it ourselves. That's not scriptural. Every church is to be an outpoint, and every new church that is established is then to be an outpoint. A lot of people didn't know this, but when I went and started mission work years ago up in North Mississippi, starting a church, do you know I didn't just sit down and say, we're going to start a church right here, and that's going to be the end of it. You know what my plan was? Is I sit there, and I was working in Grenada at the time, out in Gore Springs, just east of Grenada, and I said, what we need is a church here. And I said, then on the other side of town, we're going to need a church eventually. And then we need to go up to Coffeyville, and then we need to go down to Winona. And look, I had a plan not only for one church, I had a plan for several churches. Now, God might not have seen fit to get that all started right yet. He might use somebody else to do a work later on. I've got to leave some things in the hand of God. But I'll tell you this. You think when Paul went out that he said, you know what, we just need a church here at Corinth. And if we get that established, that's all we need. Or did he go on and say, you know what, there's people over here too at Galatia. There's people over here at Philippi. There's people over here at Rome. And you look at the miles that man traveled on foot, by animal, and by boat. We got cars in our day and time. We got trains. We got planes. We got all kinds of things. Yet I'll tell you what we're missing in our day and time is the desire to go. The desire to go. And I'll even say this. There were a lot of churches started years ago where pastors took the lead. They'd have a church here and they'd say, man, I've heard 10 miles down the road, 15 miles the road, 30 miles down the road, there's a community with no church of like faith. No church that we can have confidence in. And they would go into that community and they would have services on Friday or Saturday or Monday or whenever they could have service. They had a desire to go. And churches were established. How many pastors have helped in some of the churches we know that exist? Even there at Calvary Church, listen, I know for a fact that Brother H.R. Burge had a part in that one. I know for a fact up at Plain Church that Brother Lavelle Knight had a part in that one. You know why? The ministers had a desire to go. They saw a need. They saw lost souls. They had a burden that they would not perish, but that they would come to repentance, and they preached the gospel. Paul went out into those markets at Mars Hill, and he shared the gospel. He saw people that were given to all kinds of gods, and it burdened him. And he said, let me speak to you, and I'll tell you of this unknown God that y'all got a monument to, and He is the one true and living God. And he began to preach to them. Some mocked him, made fun of him, all these other things. Sometimes we're worried about that. Paul preached it. You know what we read after that? Some believed. I had a person ask me one time, he said, what do you preach for in a day and time where people are so cold and indifferent in our day? I said, I'm preaching for the some that will believe. And I tell you what, there's some in Mississippi still that will believe. There's some in Alabama that still will believe. There's some in Georgia. There's some in Arkansas. There's some in Texas. There's some over in California. There's places that the gospel needs to be preached to. And we're preaching for those that will believe. We know that most of the world will not accept the gospel. We know that going forward. But God didn't say get discouraged because some won't believe. He said go and teach all nations. He said go. And you know what I believe with all my heart? We're going to find the same thing that Paul and Silas and Barnabas and all those others found. Some will believe. But I'll tell you what will happen when we do nothing. Nothing. And I believe that there are sadly a lot of God's people that have come to the place that we don't want to go. And even right here in this community, we're supposed to go here. We are the outreach in this community here. We're the place that God has established for this community to reach out with the gospel. And I will say this, we'll try to delve into it a little bit more tonight. But the Holy Spirit is necessary in everything that we do. And I'll deal with that side of evangelism tonight, the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit. But dear friend, we've got a commandment to go. We've got a commandment to share the gospel. And some people say, well, I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to do these things. Listen, God didn't necessarily call you to stand up in a market and preach. That might not be what God has you to do. But if you've got children, I know that it's your responsibility to teach the gospel to them. I know this, you've got grandchildren, you've got a responsibility to teach the gospel to them. You've got neighbors, you have a responsibility when you talk to your neighbors to let them know what God has done for you and let them know what God can do for them. You've got a responsibility. In fact, sometimes people, I've had people make the statement to me before, they say, well, only preachers can share the gospel. Again, we're going to deal with that. We're going to take Bible and show that a little bit later on. But I'll go ahead and give you one example. When the church was scattered abroad, where did the apostles stay? They stayed at Jerusalem, didn't they? When those Gentiles were getting saved in all these other areas, when they had to spread out and go see what was going on in these other areas where people had trusted Christ, who was the ones that had led them to Christ? It was those persecuted Christians that had scattered abroad. Now that's Bible. And listen, I have seen that in other places. Churches have been started that way. We used to have the feeling, listen, it used to be even in our work that we believe, listen, when we got to a certain area, we're going to start telling our neighbors, we're going to start talking to people. I don't know how many churches have started in a home over the years because somebody had a burden. I know even with Susan's grandfather, I know even while they were over in North Africa, they talked about how they had Bible studies with different people that he served in the Air Force with up in North Africa. They were talking about Christ to people. They were having Bible studies with people. And if something would have got started there, It might have come a time where they would have needed a missionary to come there, some pastor to come and get things organized in a way where church extends an arm to it for something to truly be established. But as far as souls being saved, as far as the gospel being witnessed, they said, we're Christians. And just because there's not a church here we can go to, we're not going to stop serving God. And we're not going to stop sharing Him with others. They had a burden. They were saying, God's commanded us to go. We're a part of His church. We might be away from our home church. We might be miles away while we're over here serving in the military. But we still got responsibility to share the gospel with people. And to even encourage other brothers and sisters in Christ. I think some of those lessons in history have been lost. And sometimes God's people have been waiting on somebody else to do the work. As we've made this statement before, you're going to come across people that I might never meet. Is it my responsibility to share the gospel with them if I've never met them? But if God placed you in their life and He burdened your heart to uphold Christ in front of them, you got a responsibility. The church has been given this commission. The church has been told to go out and to share the gospel unto the othermost part of the earth. And we don't need to stop. There are still places today, even in America, where people haven't heard the truth. And let me tell you, in the world we're living in now, where it used to be, well, everybody's heard the gospel. Do you know you can go into schools right now, public schools, go to the 5th or 6th graders, ask them how many have even heard of David and Goliath. You might be surprised, probably right around here, 50% of them have never heard of David and Goliath. There's a work to do here. And we have to have a burden to reach out. There is a real, literal hell. There is a real place called heaven. And people are going to one or the other based upon what they do with Christ. And God has commanded us to go. Let me turn back. I want to read one scripture before we close. Turn back to the book of Ezekiel. And I believe this is a good lesson for us to remember as a church with the commandment that God has given us to go and share the gospel. Chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel, verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. They heard preaching, they heard warning, they didn't take heed to it. Their blood is upon their own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Let me ask this question. Who is God put as a watchman right now? What is the church supposed to be? The light of the world, warning people that they need to repent and believe the gospel. That's what we are. We're the watchmen. We know that judgment day is coming. We know that the Lord is coming. And listen, when He comes, He's not coming as a lamb next time. He's coming as a lion out of the tribe of Judah to judge this world. He is coming to judge. And I tell you what, the Bible says in hell, He's bringing hell with Him, isn't He? We know what's coming. We know there's a sword coming. We know there's a judgment coming. If we don't warn people, and the only one that has the authority to warn the world is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one commissioned to do that. And we preach a message to the world, don't we? Be ye reconciled to God. That's the message that God has told us to preach to this lost and dying world. What happens if we don't preach it? They'll still die in their iniquity, won't they? But will God hold us accountable for what happens if we don't warn the people? He sure will. You know, we're facing a judgment too one day. And I think a lot of times we say, well, I'm saved, I'm sealed. You know, nothing can be done to take away my salvation. Nope. But there's some people going to be saved yet so as by fire. They're going to be judged for their works. And they're going to suffer loss according to Scripture because of it. Not the loss of their soul. But they're going to suffer loss according to Scripture. Dear friend, I don't want that for me, you, or anybody. And I'll say this also, I don't want to let somebody die and go to hell and know that I had an opportunity to share the gospel with them and just didn't. I often remind people, everybody talks about when we'll get to the place where the tears are wiped away. I remind people that the day that the tears are wiped away is after the judgment of the lost. There's a reason that it's after that time. Because if we knew that we could have said something or done something or pointed that person to Christ by the way that we lived, and we didn't, that's going to be a painful day. That's going to be a sorrowful day. Those tears will be wiped away one day by the Lord. I know they will. But I tell you what, that the blood will be upon our hands. We have been called by God to go into the world and share the gospel. We've been called by God to do that. If we leave that off, we're not worshiping God, right? Because we're not obeying Him. Best worship you can give to God is obedience. And we're not obeying Him if we're not sharing the gospel. But we're also not showing love to our fellow man. And if we're fine with our brothers and sisters in Christ, not having a burden for lost souls, we're not loving them correctly either. There's a lot going wrong when we don't have a burden to carry the gospel to a lost world. Because we've been called to do it. We need to have a burden for lost souls. We need to have a care upon our heart. And a willingness to let go of the cares of this life that we can serve the one who has called us to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We need to have that burden upon our heart. We need to warn. We need to call people to repentance. We need to encourage those that are lost to know the love of God through Christ. He said, go and teach all nations. Go into the othermost parts of the earth. We need to have that burden upon our heart. And for you in your life, that go for you might be to your home. It might be to your work. It might be to your neighbor. But you've still been called to go. For somebody else, God might call them and send them to South America or Asia or Africa or Europe or some other place. Some might win a hundredfold toward the Lord. Some might win 10. But we've all got a calling and a work to do for God. Let us, dear friends, work for God and be obedient to what He has told us as a church to do. Go ye, therefore. This is the burden that God has given us. If you would have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.